Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to Four Tims in a Podcast. You join us on the 4th of December. It is the day after Celtic were victorious at McDermott Park. The Hoops won 3-1 in the end, but it was not all plain sailing, and manager Brendan Rodgers even described his half-time team talk as the angriest he's ever been in his managerial career. So today we will discuss the game in general and look at why Brendan was so angry at half time. Delighted to say the four of us are all here. It's myself, Darren, and I'm joined by Tony, Danny and Andy. So we'll get into it. Danny, I'll come to you. It was if you look at the result on paper, it does look quite straightforward, but I think it was anything but. Celtic obviously went behind just before half time to another bit of a calamitous goal. I know there was a couple of instances that might have been flagged for a foul, but coming in that, obviously the second half, changes were made and Celtic did eventually turn it around, inspired by Cal McGregor getting a goal and then followed by beautiful Matt O'Reilly strike to put us ahead, and then 20 seconds after nearly conceding an equaliser in the 93rd minute, James Forrest wrapped it up. So Daniel, come at you first. What was your thoughts on it, and can you understand why the manager was so angry at half time?
Oh aye, definitely. I thought the first half was just bad. Like, you're never going to win every game. You're not going to be able to lead in at half time in every game. We are going to lose goals. We are going to go in behind. But yesterday was like, I don't know, it just, they started the first 2 or 3 minutes, and it's so stupid to say, but the first 2 or 3 minutes, they cut through St Johnstone a couple of times, thought, oh, they looked as if they're up for it today. And then, like, 10 minutes later, you were like, I've hardly been up the park since the opening minutes, and then scored, but obviously Yang's well offside when he cuts it back. So you think, right, look how easy it is if we just maybe take our time next time, get the ball out wide, both players are onside or whatever. But St Johnstone just, before Dane match, seemed to move 30 yards up the park, and we just seemed to let them. And the boy up front caused Carter Vickers and Scales a bit of trouble, and I think he's a winger, so I don't think he's a proper striker, that, yeah, I say. And then the goal was just a really poor goal. You can see, I'd seen this morning that the boy Honald it in the build-up, but in the canister of mash, and it should have been, you know, VAR still looked at it. Considering how thorough they were for Celtic's equaliser, technically four was offside, I'm surprised they didn't look at it, but I've kind of got any complaints other than, you know, the rules are, but the rules are if it hits a horn and it leads to a goal, it should be disallowed. But it's such a bad goal for us to concede. I don't know why. Keepers do it a lot, but Hart seems to hide his cell behind Taylor. And I think he tries to push Taylor onto the defender, and it never works. He always ends up exposed. But O'Reilly should clear it. He's got a couple of chances to clear it. It's just a terrible goal. And then at half time, I said, I can't see us turning this around, because they just looked flat. It looked really, really flat, and it was almost like, because I thought the first half against Motherwell they played quite well, and then the second half they were really flat, and it was almost a continuation of that, and I thought we'll be lucky to get a draw here. Second half was much, much better, McGregor seemed to be like a man possessed in the second half. He was running about daft. He won the ball really high up a few times. He was trying a couple of shots at goals. Great strike for equaliser. But he seemed to really carry the team in the second half. Always a big part of that as well. I thought he was brilliant when he came on. Just keeps that presence in the box. It's like teams watch, you know, Celtic watch other teams just throw the ball up to a big lump and it causes their defence trouble. But we've got better players that have got that physicality as well. So why do we not just use O? And I thought he was really good. He created a lot of space when he came on. Kyogo was a lot better when O was in the park. And then the second goal, Johns. I know Mikey Johnson came on, and Mikey Johnson seems to get a lot of plaudits. And whilst I think he was bright and he had a lovely wee flick for the second goal, I still don't see it. Well, we've probably played his way into the starting lineup for Wednesday night, but we'll get to that later. But second half was much better. Three really good goals. Yeah, Riley's goal was an absolute screamer. It was a great move. And we never really looked in danger after that until, of course, the 93rd minute when St Johnston decided to attack again. And they've got two guys at the back post waiting for a tap-in. And Hart redeemed himself with a fantastic save. And he got an awful lot on the palm out as well to get it away from danger. And Forrest clears it. And 10 seconds later, Forrest has made it 3-1. But I was worried in the first half because they looked just devoid of any like urgency. And you can accept that, you know, you're not going to play your best every day and you're not going to win every game. But the first half was just such a really poor showing. And the second half was much, much better. And folk have said how we got out of jail. And, you know, people are seeming to focus on the first half. I actually thought it was a really good response in the second half. And it was clear that Rodgers got a tune out of them in the second half. And whatever he said at halftime, I know he's alluded to the fact that he was angry, which is good. And that's what you want to see for Rodgers. You don't want him to be sugarcoating you and telling you it was all part of the plan. You want to hear that, you know, he wasn't happy. But I thought the response in the second half was really good, and they ran out and deserved winners in the end. But you do want to see like an Aberdeen, you want to see a complete performance again. I'm struggling to count and many like complete performances we had this year. I mean, Athletic at home, maybe obviously Aberdeen, but I'd just love to see his click, because look what happened yesterday. They scored three great goals, and you want to see them do that more often.
Of course, as you say, it was in the first half, I thought was really poor. I think you're quite right. I think the first 10 minutes, we started really well. I think Kyogo had a great chance about 30 seconds in that he should have done better with. And David Turnbull as well had a great shot that was really well saved by the St Johnstone keeper. And the offside goal, as you alluded to, it's clearly offside. But we did just seem to, like from that bright start, just seem to invite St Johnstone into the game. And I just thought it was really poor. You mentioned that time when scales got turned really easily by the St Johnstone striker, and it really was piss poor. And we had chances to go ahead in the first half. I know even Brendan Rodgers says that St Johnstone were probably fair to have their lead in at half time, but the goal itself, like it seems to be that these things don't matter because it's Celtic. Like, it feels like, I don't think Sky mentioned it, I don't think Sports Scene mentioned it, and VAR didn't even look at it. But if you look at the corner coming in, Matt O'Reilly, first he's getting his shot grabbed, which sort of puts him off balance, and he's the one that's going to clear the ball, and he obviously doesn't get it. And that's partly down to the St Johnstone attacker, like, having a hold of his shot and putting him off balance. And then, as you say, it comes off the boy's hand, and it should be like a clear foul. And I think everybody was sort of caught up in was Joe Hart fouled? Joe Hart was in the field, and I think to claim that would be really poor. But as you say, I think I watched it back that many times. I was trying to work out what the sort of rationale for him having Taylor there is, and I think you're right. I think he tries to use Taylor as the player that he throws into the attacker to try and give himself more space, but it's clearly not working. Like, you've seen it with Lazio had corners during the week where they just put as many tackles as they could in the sort of 6-yard box and tried to put balls on top of Joe Hart, and teams are just going to keep doing it until we get better at defending it. Like, we obviously conceded that terrible equaliser to Motherwell last week. As I said, Lazio attacked it, and yesterday we conceded the goal from it as well, so it's something that urgently needs looked at. And I know I think I seen you talking about it on Twitter, Danny. It was, people are saying, oh, get out of jail. I don't think that was the case. Like, the manager obviously made the change at half-time, brought Mikey Johnston on for Yang, who I thought was really poor. I'm not going to get on at him. I seen some quite ridiculous stuff yesterday, and I know group chat probably says a few harsh things about him as well, but he's obviously a young boy who we're sort of relying on at the moment, just because of a mix of poor recruitment and obviously injuries to guys like Maeda and Abada. But I think that's now three games in a row that Yang's been pretty poor, and I'd be surprised if he holds on to that starting place going into midweek, but I thought Mikey Johnson looked quite involved. I thought a lot of people wonder why he's still at the club, but you know what, he's put a bit of dig in this week. I thought he was decent enough when he came off the bench in Rome as well. And Wins and Johnson are just sort of constantly sitting back. I think you sort of need that winger who's going to actually go at a man, and Johnson did it time and time again yesterday. And then you mentioned the great flick he had in that the second goal. I just thought in general his play was pretty good, and you know what, fair play to him, because he probably sees the stuff that it's been says about him over the last few weeks and months when he's sort of made his return to Celtic after a year in Portugal. But Cal McGregor, delighted for him, because I think he's another one who's coming in for a lot of unnecessary stick. I think people seem to, when the midfield no creating it, and he seems to be the one that's, oh, McGregor's done, he's playing side-to-side passes. I think it's overly harsh. I think McGregor's a fantastic football player, and if anything, there's too much sort of responsibility on him in terms of people are expecting him to be the one protecting the defence, breaking up attacks and making chances. But he struck that ball beautifully yesterday, and even before that he played a really fantastic pass that slipped Kyogo in early in the second half, that again the St Johnstone keeper made a really good save from. So I'd like for McGregor, and then Matt Riley, who I thought, like most of the team in the first half, was pretty poor, but his supposed weak foot scores an absolutely fantastic second goal. And again, that sort of goes back to saying I don't think we get out of jail, because I think McGregor's goals are around the 67th minute, and then Matt O'Reilly's was the 80th minute. So I don't think it was really... I know we had lots of injuries, obviously, for that chance in injury time, but I thought we were very deserved of a lead at that time. And we had other chances that we could have easily extended it. Joe Hart, as much as I've had to go at him for the first goal, you're right, it's a good save. I think the defence is all over the place for that goal as well. I think spoke out their game management last week against Motherwell. I thought it was just as poor yesterday. I thought Alistair Johnston was absolutely pitiful trying to stop the cross come in, and then Scales and Taylor are sort of dragged away from the ball, and at least two men free at the back post in the 93rd minute, which is just quite unbelievable. And fair play to us, we got up the other end of the park, and three of the subs sort of combined to get us another goal. That's Iwata, Owen, James Forrest, and they three, along with Mikey Johnson, I thought were really impressive off the bench in terms of the impact they had in the game. I know a lot of people just like to take screenshots of your bench now and say, oh, look at the state of your bench, and it should be better. I don't dispute that, but fair play to them. They four, I thought, all really made a big impact yesterday, especially Owen at the second goal as well. If you watch his run, he's not directly involved in the goal, but he sort of drags the centre halves away from the likes of Mikey Johnson and Kyogo, and creates that space that Matt O'Reilly puts the finish away. So delighted for Big O as well, and delighted for Rodgers, because again, on Twitter, Facebook, wherever, there's clearly a section of your support that just have got absolutely next to no time for Brendan Rodgers, and the second Eton seems to go against us, they're pulling up tweets and Facebook statuses from months ago saying, oh, didn't want him back, and they're putting themselves up to sort of try and look like I told you so. And look, people might say we tried to do that with Lennon, it wasn't the case. We, as much as we eventually were always calling for Lennon to go, we always wanted him a day. Well, I feel there's some in the support that just are dead against Rodgers and almost want him to fail, which is ridiculous, but delighted for the team to come back from that. And just my last point before I move on, I just think I seen a lot yesterday about, oh, he wouldn't get this with an Ange team. I think people forget that when we went to McDermott Park the first time last season, it took 97th minute or whatever it was, George's Giakoumakis winner to win 2-1. So I think, again, people are rewriting history about how brilliantly Ange's team always played. There was always times when you'd struggle as well, and you'd read a lot of what forums and Twitter and whatever for the last 3-4 months the Ange's reign, people saying, oh, I've not played well since whatever game. So I think people need to get off the manager's back slightly and just trust him, because I think you've seen in that post-match interview how much passion he does have for the club, and I think he's determined to get it right, and I'm sure he will. But Tony, what's your thoughts on yesterday?
I was just reading Brendan's press conference for the day. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I think it was Here Celts were at it. And he's basically said that Naroki and Lagerbielka need to show more in training, and Tilly only getting to the Motherwell squad because other players were injured. So I think the manager can only kind of piss with the cock he's got. What that tells me is we've signed a pile of shite. That's the only way. That's a nice way of saying these players are fucking rubbish. Because if you look who's getting ahead of them, really. I mean, we've spent mega money for us on Naroki and Lagabielka. And he's basically said they're not training well enough. They're not good enough. So that's a massive concern for me. The fact that somebody that we packed out loan to Aberdeen is now seen as being better than the two centre-half signings. Tilio serves as if, again, another kind of waste of money. He's probably going to join Kwon in that kind of list I've never seen again. I thought the first half was pitiful, to be honest. It was so slow. I was glad he came out and says he was raging. If he came out and says anything different, I'd have been concerned. I think Brendan's teams usually do play a good style of football. I think he'd done it when he was at Swansea, when he was at Liverpool, when he was with us the first time. I'm glad that he went half his seed to the players. They deserved it. I don't think Callum McGregor's been very good for quite a long period of time. But again, you move him forward a bit. He's got goals in him. There's no two ways about it. He's got a great left foot. So I was happy for him. Matt Riley's probably been our player of the season. Be a bit of a distance, he comes up with another fantastic goal. Awata does brilliant for the final goal, and Joe Hart kind of saves us. But even that chance that we gave up to them in the last minute for Joe Hart to have to pull off that save, it's really bad. It's bad for Scales, it's bad for Taylor, it's bad for Johnson to let the cross in. We need to be better, we need to be stronger. I mean, you think they would have learned for the last game against Motherwell, being strong and resolute, getting into the last couple of minutes to see who the win. They won, which is disappointing. But I'm glad we didn't get punished for it and we got the win. And that was a dreadful first half. But second half really was much better. I think Mikey Johnson did do well when he came on. But it's just, for me, it's just a sad indictment of the summer signings at Tilio and Yang. Are behind them. Yang had a dreadful performance, really, really bad. I think he was caught offside maybe four or five times. That's just one of the games you want to just tick off and get out of there with 3 points, and we managed to do that. But performances need improved. They need improved quickly, because we've got 4 home games and 2 away games in the league, so it's a massive opportunity this month to try and put even more distance between us and them. It is doable, but we need players back. We need Abada back. We need Maida back. We need Hatate back as soon as.
Oh, definitely. And as you say, that press conference is just taking place, and it does sort of draw what sort of question marks to recruitment as well. Although I do see that he has says that Maida and Abada are back on the training pitch, so that's obviously good news. But like you say, it says a lot about Narochki, Lagabielka and Tilio and the recruitment in general. But Andy, what was your thoughts on yesterday and just your thoughts in general?
I was obviously away up at the game, and I think he's a pretty bang on. Like the first half, obviously looking back at it now, you're seeing their goal and there appears to be a handball and stuff, but it's symptomatic of a lot of goals that we seem to concede in an area that we're quite vulnerable, balls into the box. And to be honest, I think it sort of comes from both ends. Like, and even when we're attacking corners or defending corners or sort of high free kicks, even long throws to an extent, like, we're no very good in the air. I know you've got, obviously, Carter Vickers, who's fairly dominant in Scales, who's been all right since he's came in, but I would say across the rest of the team, if Owe isn't on the park, there's no really anybody that you would fancy in these situations, especially across the back line, like, in terms of the two full-backs that are no, you wouldn't sort of regard them as great in the air. I know teams target Greg Taylor quite often, which you see even for goal kicks and stuff like that, but aye, the goal's probably symptomatic of an area that we're vulnerable in and teams will target. But aye, I'd probably agree as well that they were maybe deserving of that. We were ranked wrong in the first half. I just didn't think we played well whatsoever. He was just consistently breaking down. There was nothing in the final third at all, really. I don't think Kyogo was in the game at all. Both the wide men were poor. I don't think even, as I say, I know you mentioned the other one, you've seen some stuff levelled at Yang, but I thought Palmer was pretty pish as well in that first half. I don't think it was just, I think it'd be unfair for just to single out Yang. The one thing I would say about him is he does try and make stuff happen, which would have been much more alarming if he was just constantly taking the ball and passing it backwards, but at least he's trying to obviously make something happen. But he's a young boy, and I would not allow too much criticism at him, because it's probably a surprise to him that he's sort of getting so much game time and getting so much pressure right now.
just given the injuries that we've got and sort of the way the season's went so far. But second half, it was obviously the managers. You assume he's maybe been through a couple of players. He's obviously been out in the media and he's dug them up for attitudes and the way that people are performing, just sort of sauntering through games. And he's bang on, you can't sit and protect and just sit and let players get away with it. We've got a huge squad there, which we've spoken about multiple times, and there's going to have to be people moved on. And if players ultimately aren't they willing to sort of play for a jersey and gear 100% every week, then they shouldn't be here. But aye, the second half we came out and I thought McGregor really did sort of lead by example. I would agree with what Danny was saying about him. I thought he was really, really good. He took his goal brilliant. And he was really a driving force to sort of take his going forward. And that's, people always sort of mention Scott Brown in that aspect, that he used to sort of try and drag the team through games at moments. And I felt McGregor done that in the second half. He really took responsibility and obviously wheezy and ability, but he acted like a leader and took on that role and showed why he is the captain. So just that, I think the team just lifted it. I thought O was a massive influence. Again, he was another one. Like, if you go back a couple of weeks and people were fucking sharing videos of Jackie Marcus and all this shite about how O's know it and this and that. And you know, people are like, they just want to be right and have this validation on the internet. That's why you see so many stupid opinions about I told you so and I'm right. And O was just happened a few weeks ago to be another victim of that. And he was the next target, which appears to be going to Yang next. But I think O was really, really good when he came off the bench. As I say, he never got a goal, but it's no all about putting the ball in the net. It's about what he contributed, and I thought he'd done a lot. His work rate's always been phenomenal anyway, but even like you say, the runs he was making, dragging defenders away, and he's not really the selfish type player either. But he's willing to work, and he is a guy you can see he puts 100% in every time, and I thought that was important. Mikey Johnston, another one. I don't think there's a future long-term for Mikey Johnston to say, like, I don't think he's good enough, but listen, he came on, he tried, he worked hard, and he gave what he could to overturn the result and get us the win, and that's important, that's good for him. I'm happy for him, I'm glad for him, because there was a lot of pressure, he probably feels it himself, but at moments like that, there's no point in consistently criticising, although there's sort of, no cheesing, but, or the sighing every time certain players get on the ball. Well, we've seen it for long enough at Celtic fans, so notoriously bad for it, especially at Parkhead, or sucking in through the teeth and all that. When certain players get the ball or try something and it doesn't come off, there's no point in that at this point because it's not going to help anybody. But I was happy for him. Like you say, he had a featured in one of the goals with his back heel. And I thought there was obviously, I'd love to have heard what was said at half time and sort of what comments were made. But it obviously had an impact. And I think I'm happy with Rodgers coming out and saying that I fully support it. I think the board haven't backed him. I think there's some amount of shite in that squad. The squad's overinflated and there's just wages just getting wasted on players that really shouldn't be here at this point. And I think that probably shows. I know we've been unlucky with injuries and things this season, but like, their squad should be good enough to cope with that. We should be able to cope with Maida and Abada getting out. We should be able to cope with anything like that happening. And although we get through the game, we've obviously dropped points previously this season, which will happen, but we don't look as prepared as we should be at times. And I think that's really what Rodgers is trying to highlight. And that coupled with any players that maybe they have the wrong attitude or maybe aren't willing to apply themselves 100% is only going to sort of exacerbate that issue. But I was just happy to go with the win done. I mean, when at 2-1, you know, listen, even when you play well and it's 2-1, you think the game's done and all it takes is one opportunity, which you've seen in Joe Hart, probably makes up for his error for the first goal and sort of unwillingness to come out and use the fact that he's about 6'5". Makes a great save to stop the game for going 2-2, and then we run up the park, Iwata, another one, brilliant, great running for him, got the punk score, and it really could have been so different at that point, but aye, it was. I think there's some positives to take, but I'm interested to actually see what happens next in terms of personnel. If he does maybe go and bring Johnston back in, and obviously Forrest get a goal, is he going to then come back in? Watt has been somebody who's sort of been floating around for a while now, and you've got to imagine if the manager's talking about squads and the manager's talking about obviously the comments that Tony mentioned about the centre half. Like, Watt is another one. He's been here for a while now. You've got to assume that if he's not going to start getting chances at starting games and playing in the midfield where he was signed to play, then he's maybe one of the players that's looked at to move on. So I'm interested to see what happens in the next couple of games before the transfer window. But I thought it was really a game of two halves for us, Dan. I thought we were ragged on in the first half and we really picked up second half. There was, I think, a lot of character was shown by certain players, and as I say, the captain really led by example, which I was buzzing about. And again, good to see guys like O coming in and making an impact and sort of try to stake their claim as to why they should be in the team.
Yep, definitely. And as you say, I think most important thing was getting the win. That takes us to 39 points from the opening 15 games. Obviously dropped points to St Johnstone earlier in the season, to Motherwell last week, and to our next opponent, Hibs, who come to Celtic Park on Wednesday. Danny, I'll come to you. It's, as I said, the last time we played Hibs, we dropped 2 points after a 0-0 draw at Easter Road. It wasn't that long ago. I think Hibs are unbeaten in the league since then. They did lose League Cup semi-final, but they're unbeaten in the league and have won the last three league games. What are you expecting from Wednesday? And is there any of the subs that we've mentioned that made an impact yesterday that you think might have played their way into the starting lineup? I know you mentioned Mikey Johnson earlier.
Johnson will probably start on Wednesday, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm a Mikey Johnson fan, always have been since he broke through, and I think it's nothing better than seeing Wanny Arena out there that you've brought through in the team. And I was a huge fan of him the first time under Rodgers. I thought when Lennon came in, he was going to burst onto the scene again. He scored some big goals for us. Had that great pass for Edward at Ibrox. And he was unlucky with injuries. And Lennon made my show him at St Johnstone 3 years ago, which was poor as well. Okay, the glorious manager that is Neil Lennon. But Johnston's going to start. Fucking shite. So he'll probably get hooked the first time. I like him, and I can't disagree. He was bright when he came on against Lazio. He was bright when he came on yesterday. But I still think he's overdoing it. I think he's trying too hard. There's a couple of times he was giving, like, before we equalised yesterday, he went by a guy and then he went back to get by him again. And then he won a corner or he would win a throw-in and he'd fucking give the ball to somebody. But to be fair, somebody said, I've just seen a tweet, just because he's better than Young doesn't mean he's any good. And I totally agree with that. But I'd love to see Johnson turn that around and be the kind of Cinderella story of the season. I just can't see it. I just think that the Mary's actually going to be featured in the team that will show up, that he's probably, for his sake, he's got to get a move away. We'll see how O should be at the team. At the minute, I think O should be in the team. I think it should be next to Kyogo. I think Roger's got to try something different. This, you know, the way that he plays, I mean, Palma could easily play centrally behind strikers. Kyogo could play in behind O. He's got to try something different. I'd bring Awata in and play Awata in front of the back four. Let McGregor and O'Reilly get forward. And maybe have Palma in behind Kyogo and O. I don't know. But the last time we played Hibs was probably the most frustrating result of the season for me, because if we'd have beat Hibs, we'd have been through one round of fixtures. We were at least we'd have been 7 clear. And I know we'd be on all 2 points clear now, but just if we'd have got through the first round and all the away games and stuff and haven't have to go to Ibrox and what have you and be 7 clear, it would have been, I just feel a lot better about things now. I mean, I'm still supremely confident that we'll win the league. I know some people that I follow on Twitter, aren't they? But I'd be even better confident if we'd got the 3 points against Hibs. And again, it was kind of similar to the first half yesterday. We never really did much in that game. We were quite poor. So it'd be good. Hibs are, you don't know what Hibs are going to get. They seem, when they play us, they seem to be tough to beat. And then you watch them against other teams and they ship really poor goals. So they'll no doubt they'll come and they'll try and hit us in the break. It's all about how we react. It's about how we play. If we can play at the right tempo, if we can carry on the second half yesterday and start the game properly and get a few early goals like we did against Aberdeen and proper stamp your authority on the game, then it will be a great chance to get 3 points and stay, I think. What are we? 7 clear at the minute? 9, are we? We're 9 clear with a game.
8 clear with a game in hand.
8 with a game in hand. I mean, they're going to Tynecastle. Hearts have won 4 in a row, so their good run will probably come to an end on Wednesday. But you're looking at them going to Tynecastle, and it's a chance that we could slip a few points clear of them again, further clear. So you're hoping that, you know, we do a bit. If we do a bit, we'll win the league. It's that simple. For here on out, if we do a bit, we'll win the league. But Tony was right. You know, the home games that we've got, we need to start making these points count. I mean, two of the three games that we've dropped points in are at home. We need to start making these home games count. We can't have teams thinking that if they come in and sit back, they'll either keep a clean sheet and get away with one each, or they might sneak a corner up the other end and get a one each. We can't have that. We need to blow teams away at Celtic Park. When away from home, we need to expect a battle and we need to get better. But Hibs, again, I don't know what team will turn up. If it's the team that I watched against Celtic last time, they were hard to beat, but then I watched them against Ross County a few days later, they were 2-0 up and they'd shipped two of the worst goals you'll see, so I don't know. Listen, hopefully it's as dire, and they come and ship 4 or 5 and we could move on to next weekend. I think it'll be a tougher game, but I kind of hope for another response on Wednesday night. I'm hoping that Rodgers is getting another response from them, and I really want to see a continuation of yesterday, because I agree with what you've said, that the first half was that bad. It couldn't be much worse than the second half, but there was a definite response there. Rodgers definitely got through to them at half time, and I want to see that continuing. I want to see that. I don't want to see them start slow and laboured and think, well, because what they tend to do at Celtic Park this season is they'll start quickly, and then you'll get maybe 10, 15 minutes, and if they don't break the deadlock, they just seem to, right, well, we'll hit them late on or something. I want to see them keep going at teams and break them down, because they were at Johnston down yesterday, and I know they were free screamers, but the goals were coming. Like, when they came, they were coming, and I want to see that again on Wednesday night. I want to see us no kind of take stock and keep the ball for possession sake. I want to see us go right at Hibs, because, you know, these teams, with all due respect, they're no great teams, and if you can keep plugging away, you'll get your rewards. But it will be a tough game, because I'm not going to them when it comes to Aberdeen, but Hibs have seemed to be a tough team for us in the last few years. Even, I mean, we're record at Easter Road, if you take Andrew, it's appalling, and we're record at home against them, so I think we've probably beat them at home, but they always seem to give us a tough game.
I definitely, and I think just on what you're saying about Rodgers there, I think what he says about needing more quality in the team, and then yesterday about how angry he was, and then even today, as we've seen, that he's speaking about new signings not being pretty much no doing enough in training to get near the starting lineup now. I think I'd like to think that the players are hearing this as well and think that they're playing for their future. Like, they might just throw a huff and think, oh, he's going to make new signings in January anyway, but surely there'll be something in there that likes Alata, who say, you know what, I'm going to be the one he can rely on. And they two I mentioned, O and Tomoki Alata, I'd very much like to see them in. I think, again, I've said as many times on here, I'm not a massive fan of David Turnbull. He had a great shot yesterday. It was greatly safe, but apart from striking the ball brilliantly, like, I don't think he brings too much to the midfield apart from that. And I think Iwata might get a bit more balance and free up Callum McGregor a bit more. Like, you've seen how important Callum McGregor was in that sort of attacking third yesterday. I think with somebody like Iwata and alongside him and O'Reilly, it would free Callum McGregor up to get a bit forward more. And Mikey Johnson, I think, probably will be the one that comes in, but then Forrest come on and scored as well, so he'll maybe be fancying a start as well, and Rodgers has went to him quite a few times this season, so who knows, it might be James Forrest. But a bit like you say, Manny, I'd love to see Kuehl go and O in from the start, and just maybe a slight change of shape just to accommodate that, because I think when O's come on at the same time as Kuehl drops a bit deeper, but he's been a bit more involved. And I know some people are saying that Kyogo's sort of game's affected since Rodgers came in, but it was unlucky, you know, if you, like I say, should have done better with that one in the first minute yesterday, and then keeper makes a great save after McGregor slipped him through, and then keeper made a second great save from that one that Palma slipped across to him. I know it was offside, but it was still a great save, so I think he can find himself sort of unfortunate not to be on the score sheet. But before this episode, I would have said that I would have liked to see one of the new centre-halves that we spent the best part of £10 million on, but looks like from the press conference that won't be the case, and it will be pretty much the same defence.
I know, Darren, I know that you think we've a bit of a laugh in the group chat, right? But the Tilio one's quite damning. I'll agree with that when Rodgers says he was only in the squad because folk were injured, somehow ended up in the park. But when they're rocking, like, surely Rodgers is just challenging them to prove themselves. I mean, it's no great, but I don't think it's a crisis just yet.
The one thing that worried me about that is he was our biggest outlay this summer. He was our biggest signing, and Rodgers is basically, he's basically, maybe he's just answering on behalf of both of them, but to be saying that they're pretty much not doing enough in training is worrying, because I think if injuries hadn't happened, then, like you said, it would have been most likely, plus choice centre half would have been sent back on loan or permanently to Aberdeen.
But that's who's, it's the fans' fault for bigging scales up. Anyway, he's 2 weeks, but I don't know, like, we tell you, I completely agree. I mean, it's not great to hear Roger say that. Of course it's not, but obviously it's positive from our point of view, because we've been calling this out for since we came back on a couple of weeks ago. But I think with the two centre-halves, he's just challenging him to start out a wee bit. He's done the same way Atati, he's done it with Holm. And I don't know, with that, I think he's just trying. I think Roger's a better manager. I said it yesterday, I think folk think Roger's a bit of a dafty. He's clearly very intelligent. I think he's just trying to bring them two on. And Tilio I'd agree with, but I think with the other two, he's just saying to them, right, you know, buck up. It's not great, but I don't think it's a crisis just yet. I wouldn't say it's the end for they two.
Well, here's hoping, but who knows, we will soon see him, I'm sure. Danny will be telling. I think as well, maybe Rogers, it's a wee acknowledgement to the support, because he's probably hearing what supporters are saying as well. So him letting supporters know that he's not happy with the quality as well, it sort of does give us that reassurance, as you say. But I think the game itself will be dangerous, because Hibs have obviously got some pacey tackles like say Yuan and Martin Boyle. So I think our defence is there to be got at the new, and we'll have to watch, because I think I wouldn't be surprised if it was a high scoring game, maybe sort of 3-1 or 3-2, because I think Hibs have, well, I know it was a goalless draw last time, but they obviously took 4 off us and after the league was won last year, and they took the lead at Celtic Park last time they came as well. I know they did get that, I think Yuan got sent off and then Hibs took the lead, but we came back to win 3-1 that day. So it will be interesting to see. As you say, I think we can just do our part, and if results go our way and we're able to extend a lead, that'd be great. But as you mentioned, as long as we do our part, we'll win the league. We've worked for that lead, and all we have to do is keep winning and maybe they'll be able to catch us. But Tony, what's your thoughts on Wednesday?
I just did touch on what Danny says. I don't think it's a crisis, but it's definitely a concern that, I mean, if you're not training well enough, that suggests a kind of an attitude problem. But I think it is a good thing. Rogers has basically come out and he's basically had a go at the recruitment, I think. I think he, as Danny says, he's a very intelligent man. His reputation's at stake here. And he's been served up a really poor transfer window. This just shouldn't have happened, really shouldn't have happened. They should have got whatever players they wanted if they were bringing them back on a £3 million a year contract or whatever it is. So that is a bit of concern for me. It's not as if the two centre-halves have been absolutely brilliant. I mean, we're still conceding goals. I get that's not just their fault, but I would definitely like to see Naroki get a chat next to scales. Aye, Wednesday. I feel as though every game's kind of tricky. They know we're not in any kind of great form. So I feel as though the next drop points, feel as though it could happen at any time. We need to start the game fast. I don't think we score enough goals in the first half of games. We should be looking to go 2 or 3 nil up and kill the game stone dead. We're at home advantage. Obviously, the atmosphere will be shite again because Celtic just, you know, the board are too busy fighting with fans and occupying themselves with absolute nonsense, supposed to try to resolve issues. So atmosphere will be poor. It'll probably be a reasonably poor attendance and it'll be freezing. So I think the players will need to get the fans up for it, opposed to the other way about. I think Hibs won 2-0 yesterday, but going by what I've seen on social media, I think that was quite lucky and they probably deserve to lose. We just need to start fast. I think the team will probably be similar to what started against St Johnstone, but Mikey Johnson will probably come in for Yang. If you'd have told me when Big Ange lifted the Scottish Cup in May that Mikey Johnson would be starting for us, I would probably have burst into laughter and then demanded you be hospitalised. So it's just a kind of sign of how far we've kind of dropped off, really. I think we'll win, but I think maybe 1-0, 2-1. I don't see anything spectacular coming. I think we need Maida, Abada, Hatate back, as I say, and then we need a new left back, need a new goalkeeper, need a strong midfielder. And probably need another striker. But I take Andy's point. I really like O as well, I think. I think O done well when he came on. He's a physical presence. I wouldn't be against going for Keogh going all up front, just going a kind of flat 4-4-2. But I guess there's not really much we can do in terms of transfers, I guess. Kind of just harp on every episode about the board being shite. I mean, I probably will do that, to be fair, because the kind of the transfer window kind of irritates me with every passing day and every comment that's made by the manager or every time you see one of the players we've signed. So hopefully we can get to January with a healthy lead intact. And then if there's anything that comes out for the club to say, oh, it's notoriously difficult, we should just totally just not put up for that. It's just not a good enough excuse. Every transfer window is difficult because we make it difficult and because our recruitment team are inept. I don't think we should be putting up with that. We've signed massive quality in January over the years. Hitati came in January, Maeda, even if you go back, Robbie Keane, Craig Bellamy, etc. So the idea we can't sign quality is nonsense. So it's up to the board to demand, or it's up to Rodgers to demand the board bring that quality in January because we need it, or the title could be at risk. There's no two ways about it.
Aye, definitely. I know we do see me harp on about transfers, and after last week saying we should sign the A-League player of the year, I was laughing this morning when I seen that Yusuke Adeguchi's nominated for it, so we may well get the J-League player of the year back in. But Andy, I'll come to you. What's your thoughts on the Hibs game and expecting many changes from yesterday?
I think just given his comments for the start and all of them, you'll maybe see one or two changes. I mean, just on the point about obviously the squad, and I know what the manager said about the two centre-halves that we signed in Noroki and Lagabelka. I actually fully agree with Danny. I think like Scales has been alright, but no matter than that, I think on the ball and in possession, and people need to realise that we have 60-70% of the ball just about every game domestically, bar maybe when you play Rangers or maybe when you go to a quote-unquote tougher away ground like Tynecastle Pataudry or something, but I mean, even then, we're going to have the bulk of the ball. Scales isn't good enough on the ball, and he doesn't take it out and engage somebody quick enough. His passing is not good enough, and like, that's just the simple reality of where we're at. That they need to do that, and like, our creation of chances doesn't just come from the midfield, it comes right for the back line. And that's not just to dig him out specifically, I think Greg Taylor also needs to be improved on. I'm just more so talking because we went out and spent a lot of money on centre halves. And even to an extent, Phillips, who's been sat on the bench, he's not going to be there. On the cheap, he'll be in a good wage at Liverpool, and we'll be paying a massive chunk of that. But I think we've got to sort of look across there and improve on that as well. It's probably just one of the things that I think he's done better than most people expected, but he's not going to be the answer going forward to him. As I say, in terms of the window, I think we've got to be looking at a left-back as well. I think Taylor's massively getting exposed. I think the Ange system benefited him a lot more, but I think that's just because he could come into the middle of the park and it wasn't really as emphasised on getting down in the wide areas and, again, sort of 1v1 defending. He had a bit more cover and things like that at times. I just think he's getting exposed. I think a lot of teams, they target him because he's obviously the height of him as well. I think, really, you've got to be looking at a new left-back, and then, again, if the new centre-halves really aren't going to be an improvement on Scales, then something's got to be done in terms of recruitment, because that's a fuck-ton amount of money to be wasted. Again, it might just be an attitude thing of no wanting to be changed. I mean, Rodgers is right. Defence is probably the last area of the pitch, barring a goalkeeper that you're sort of keen to rotate, given that you want that sort of settled back line. But ultimately, we need to be looking to improve the team at any and every available opportunity. So that's got to be done. I think that's a view towards January's got to be done that as well. And I agree, after that, it's probably wide areas we need to be looking at. But we can't let the board away with consistently just reeling out this nonsense that it's difficult windows, because they say it every single year. They say it whether it's the summer window, whether it's the January window. It's the same sound bites that you get for them. There's recruitment teams in place. There's people in there who should be working all year round to ensure that we're ready, and that we're replacing players. And I made the point, I think it was in the last pod or the one before that, that it will ruin, and you can sense it already. Like, we should always be looking to improve on points of strength, but we'll come into the next window, and then you'll get to summer, then we'll maybe lose Hitati, or you'll maybe lose Carter Vickers, or you'll lose a big player, an important part of the team, and then we'll bring in somebody to not replace them, but we'll bring in another sort of decent player and a big name, or somebody who'll become a big name. In that point, you're never really improving on the actual squad itself, because you've lost. Look, we never improved, and we should have. Perfect point of date was when we still had Hitati, we still have Carter Vickers, and we have these guys, and we bring in players that are on their level, that are the same as them, we replace Jota and then we sign another player of that calibre, and we don't do it because we're just completely unwilling to progress. I don't get what our next goal is, and I think the club need to either come out and just say that's never going to be it and stop basically pretending to people and selling people the dream. Like, what's the point of Rodgers being there if that's not your next goal? That has to always be the end goal, is the improvement, constant improvement, improvement in Europe. And you do that for signing players when you're in a position of strength. Like, there's no team in world football that can't be improved upon. And there's times at Celtic where you just feel that that's never the goal. They feel that they're happy with their 11 and they're just going to sign projects and hope for the best. And that's how we end up in positions like we end up in right now, where you're looking and you've got Mikey Johnston, James Forrest, Liam Scales, Greg Taylor, the guys who, if we're all open and honest enough, say they're not good enough to be Celtic starting 11 players, and they're there. And you're now getting into a game against Hibs and all four of the players will probably start. And that's not just direct at the A4, there's far more players in the squad that are like that, but that's the position that we get left in because of the way we go about our business. I think hopefully the manager's coming out and making these points, and hopefully that translates to the window, but I wait with bated breath because I just don't see it. And I think we're slowly getting towards a point where the manager's probably just going to say, what's the fucking point? Why have I came back here when nothing's really changed? A couple of faces might have changed, but it's the same fucking stupid attitude that they've got. And until the real people who are the problem, which is the boardroom, are removed and changed with people who have actually got a bit of ambition and who are able to look past the at least or no Rangers or at least or better than Rangers attitude, then things aren't going to change and we're going to continue rocking up to Europe. And whether that be the fucking Champions League or even but at the point where it's the Europa League and all, and we take some fucking stupid results just because of complete mismanagement for the very top. And that's where we're going to remain until there's a change in attitude. And that's only going to come with a change of board. But as I said, with the game midweek against Hibs, I think there'll be one or two changes. I think there's players who have probably played their way out of the team as opposed to anybody playing themselves in. I would agree Johnston's not been great. I don't think he'll be the answer long term, but I think Yang's, again, no done anything to say that he's already been able to stay in the team for a long period of time. Probably does need a game coming on for the bench and try to make an impact. So you'll maybe see Forrest or Johnston coming into that spot. Maybe you'll see O coming in for the start. I think he's obviously had a few goals recently as well. Another one I would like to see him getting a start. I think he's probably deserving of it. So I think you'll maybe see one or two changes, but nothing drastic. And I agree with Tony. I think we need to go out and start well. We need to stop sort of having to not hang on to games, but play our way into games. And that I'd love to see us just come out the traps firing early with that hunger that we showed in the second half and that desire. So McGregor dragging us through and really making us step up again. I'd love to see that for the kick-off. And as I say, the atmosphere is going to be poor. The board are too busy fucking fanning about, arguing with fans and fucking chucking podcasts out of fucking press conferences. But it's only the players and the fans. Players in the management that we need to hopefully come out and get a positive result here. And that's it. I think it's going to be, if I'm honest, Dan, I think it's going to be another bit of a slog, but I hope I'm proved wrong in that.
What's your score prediction?
I'll go for a 2-0 win.
Accepted. Just on what Lanny says earlier, I think it's ridiculous that this Green Brigade and Boys thing hasn't been sorted. I was just reading on the Huddle Board earlier from somebody who's pretty on the money with these things, that not going to be sorted for Wednesday, and I think there's even talk that it won't be sorted for Feyenoord, which surprises me because I'm surprised they're going to have to refund that money to the supporters. That must be killing them. But I think the fact that that's not sorted yet is a bit ridiculous. Tony, what's your score prediction?
2-1 Celtic. I'll go for it. I think we might get Johnson will get a goal, and I think the 70 million in the bank will get the second.
Danny, what's your score prediction?
Tony beat me there. I was going to predict Johnson would score. I think we'll run away 3-1 in the end, the same as yesterday. I do think we'll be a couple of goals up off time. I think Rodgers might have got through to them yesterday. Hopefully it's a turning point. And I'll go for we'll start and we'll score twice. And Kyo will score a third. And then we'll give away a really stupid goal, which will placate the Rodgers out brigade, who will dine on it until the weekend.
Aye, and I don't know. As I said earlier, I think it'll be goals. I think it'll be 3-2 Celtic. You know what, we'll probably go behind just to add to the atmosphere on Wednesday. But I think we'll have enough. And Matt O'Reilly will get on the score sheet along with O. And I think Lewis Palmer will get the winner and keep a lead at the top of the table and hopefully see it extended if results go our way. But we are closing in on an hour, so we'll wrap it up there. Thanks to everybody that's commented on the last few episodes. It is good to be back. We will be back after the Hibs game. We'll look at what happened there, and we'll also preview the Kilmarnock game on Sunday. So make sure you're tuned in, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and let us know what you think the score will be in the Hibs game. Just go to your Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, just search for 4Times in a Podcast and let us know what you think. And cheers for taking the time to listen. Hail, hail.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.